voice in your home, streaming live on our website.
Okay, we're about ready.
Thank you, Larry.
Thanks.
App on your telephone at 1-631-359-8743. And on the radio in Florida on 91.9 FM WMKL in Hammocks, Miami. In Louisiana on 580 AM KJMJ in Alexandria, 1360 AM KNIR in New Iberia, 89.7 FM KBIO in Natchitoches, and 91.1 FM KOJO in Lake Charles. In Mississippi on 88.1 FM WOLM in D'Iberville, Biloxi. In Ohio on 1600 AM WULM in Springfield, with translator W277AO 103.3 FM in Enon, Dayton, and 88.7 FM WHJM in Anna. In Pennsylvania on 88.1 FM WHHN in Hollidaysburg, Altoona. In Texas on 1250 AM KDEI in Port Arthur. And in Wisconsin at 91.3 FM WRMW in Peshtigo.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living the divine will.
And thank you, Larry, from Radio Maria. I want to welcome all priests, deacons, sisters, brothers and sisters of divine will and oblates to this, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalm, and I'm joined by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. And we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. We're going to be using our supplication from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, day 31. This is the soul, us to the glorious Queen, Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. Oh, Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. Everything we ask here is through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, we're just grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. And we mean that. And I think everyone's recognizing that, Mother, as things get progressively worse in the world, it's actually getting better because it's just, it's sort of like that yo-yo scenario. Once you release, Adam released the yo-yo from his hand metaphorically when he was disobedient to God. So once that yo-yo is released from our hand, have you ever tried getting the yo-yo back up in your hand? Unless it fully deploys the string, it's impossible. So we've got to hit bottom, and I have to think we're getting close to it. So the more that God allows through the mystery of his permissible will, the closer we're getting to I think to that rebound, to that balance where everything is going to be good again. Mothers, sisters, it's great to be alive today. Welcome again.
Yes, it's nice to be here today. I was just something about what you were just talking about here, chastisement. The Lord shows her, Louisa, many chastisements. This is volume 2, 1899, the 3rd of March. As I was in my usual state, my always lovable Jesus made himself seen all embittered and afflicted, and he told me, my daughter, my justice has grown too heavy, and the offenses I receive from men are so many that I can no longer sustain them. So the scythe of death is about to harvest much. Suddenly, and by means of diseases, the chastisements I will pour upon the world are so many that there will be a sort of judgment. Who can say the so many chastisements he showed me, and how terrified and frightened I was left. The pain that my soul feels is so great that I believe it is better to keep silent. But I continue because obedience wants it so. I seemed to see streets filled with human flesh and blood inundating the ground, and cities besieged by enemies who spared not even children. They seemed to be like many furies come out of hell. They respected neither churches nor priests. The Lord seemed to send a chastisement from heaven. What it is, I don't know. It just seemed to me that we will all receive a mortal blow, and some will be victims of death, others will recover. I also seem to see plants withered and many other troubles which are to come over the harvest. Oh God, what pain to see these things and to be forced to manifest them. Ah, Lord, placate yourself. I hope that your blood and your wounds will be our remedy, or rather pour the chastisements upon this sinner, for I deserve them, or otherwise take me. And then you will be free to do whatever you want. But as long as I live, I will do everything I can to oppose it. So, you know, we know that God is going to allow these things to happen. God lets man is really chastising himself, but God allows it. God has protected us from so much in the past. But now with so much sin in the world, God can't take anymore. He's going to allow us to destroy ourselves. But, you know, God brings a greater good out of everything. We know that. We know that the only way that God is going to bring around about a better world, and we've talked about that before, is to allow everything to fall apart so that he can build it up again, rebuild it. He's going to rebuild the world, rebuild the church through grace. Much grace is coming upon the earth. But first, we go through suffering. And then, he said in also March 10th, Volume 3, this morning, having received Holy Communion, I saw my dear Jesus as a child with a lance in his hand in the act of wanting to pierce my heart through. And since I had said something to the confessor wanting to reproach me, Jesus told me, you want to shun suffering? And I want you to begin a new life of sufferings and of obedience. And while saying this, he pierced my heart through with the lance. And then he added, just as a fire burns according to the wood that is placed in it, thus being more active in burning and consuming the objects that are thrown into it. And the greater the fire, the greater the heat and the light it contains, the same with suffering and obedience. The greater they are, the more the soul becomes capable of destroying what is material. And obedience gives her the shape it wants, like soft wax. So how are we going to be transformed into Christ? Through suffering, through the cross, and our obedience to him, to his will. That's how things are going to be transformed. But, you know, we need to be disciplined. We need discipline. We've had life. Everything has been so easy for us, you know, and we haven't appreciated all God's gifts. God has been so good to us, and all of he's given us. Life is easy. Life is much easier than people who experienced life in the past. And yet we've taken everything for granted. We haven't been grateful to him for all these gifts. We've misused the gifts that he gives us. Man uses his gifts to do evil. You know, surgeons, you misuse the gift and the talent they got. God gave them to abort babies, you know, to destroy life, rather than to save life, you know. And so we have to look at all the beautiful gifts he's given us, and have we used them in the right way, you know, and thank God for what's coming, because we know that's the only way we're going to have a better world. That's the only way all this evil is going to stop, is if he transforms the world through the cross. And we have to appreciate the cross, love the cross, and just try to totally live in his will and according to his will, and be obedient to him in everything. And that's the only way we're going to survive and have peace. Our Lady of Medjugorje says we have nothing to worry about if we live in her messages, if we live in according to the teachings of the church, if we live in holy lives. We will not experience a chastisement. Most of it will be spiritual darkness. You will be at peace. You will be happy. Stop looking at the news and you'll have more peace. Spend that time that you would be looking at the news, reading the divine will, the writings, or praying your rosary, or making the stations of the cross, meditating on the passion of our Lord, and you're going to be blessing the world. You can't do any good to the world by watching the news, but you can bring much good to the world if you pray Every soul will be touched by your prayers throughout the world, especially every act you do in divine will. Every soul is transformed throughout the world as much as they're open to the grace. So that's how we can help the world, not by watching what's going on all over the world, but by praying for what's happening all over the world. You know, and you don't have to worry about, my grandpa used to tell me, people talk about the end of the world all the time. He says, the end of the world comes to many people every day. You could die in a car accident tomorrow. You might not be, don't have to wait for what's happened. What's going to, the chastisement that's going to take place. So we should be ready to die every day. Every day we should live as though it's our last. Just like they say, every priest should say, offer the mass as if it's his last mass. We should live every day of our lives as if it's our last day. And then we will be obedient to God, living according to his holy divine will.
But those words are so serious and so relevant, Mother, because if we really did take that seriously, that, you know, this may be our last day, every day would be so beautiful. We wouldn't waste that. We wouldn't waste a drop of time. You know, it's really interesting, too, because as these times are getting darker and darker, you know, our Blessed Lord told us in volume 14, August 23rd, 1922, he said, quote, I told you many times that the mission of calling a soul to live in my will is the greatest one. It is the highest and most sublime call. There is no other call that can match it. End quote. No other call. But yet, when many read this, the response is, oh, that's nice. I'm comfortable with what I have. You know, the church has taught me all these other prayers and litanies, and those are all beautiful. They're very holy. But we don't recognize. I think we don't recognize what we have here, what treasure we have here. And I think, you know, God doesn't come with this big bullhorn and these big floodlights, but he comes with a flashlight, a meek flashlight. And in the daylight, it's very difficult to see that flashlight. So what does he have to do? He has to allow for darkness to happen, because it's in that darkness that we're going to be able to recognize and to see that light. Now, some of us see it right away because, thanks be to God, we were disposed to see it. You know, those nothings in the world, which is us, I hope. So, again, all of this is going to be opportunity for each and every one of us. Again, Jesus tells us in the volumes over and over again, be attentive, be attentive. Sister.
Yeah, I just wanted to read a passage from the Passion book that I was reminded of when Mother was speaking. She says, what's the best thing we can do for the world is pray. And I was just reading something from the Reflections and Practices from hour 4, 8 to 9 p.m. I like the Reflections and Practices. I've heard some people say they were written by Louisa herself. Some people say it was added on by Saint Anibale. I don't know who wrote them, but they're wonderful. And here it tells us, it gives us a little examination of conscience of all of the opportunities throughout the day that the Lord sends us that we really could help the world. They seem small and we probably won't realize what they're doing, but if we do them in the divine will and if we do them with love and generosity, we can be helping the world. So it's written, we need to pay attention to each one of our interior motions, because good Jesus now makes us suffer, now wants us in prayer, now places us in one interior state, now in another, in order to repeat his own life in us. Let us suppose that Jesus places us in the circumstance of exercising patience. He receives such grave and so many offenses from creatures that he feels moved to resort to chastisements to strike the creatures. And here he gives us the opportunity to exercise patience. We must give him honor, bearing everything with peace, just as Jesus does. Our patience will snatch from his hands the chastisements with which other creatures draw from him, because he will exercise his own divine patience within us. The same with all the other virtues, just as with patience. In the sacrament, loving Jesus exercises all virtues. From him, we will draw fortitude, docility, patience, tolerance, humility, and obedience. It's just so beautiful. And, you know, three things kind of stuck out at me when I first read this is we need to pay attention to each one of our interior motions. In order to do that, we have to start practicing silence. yes, exterior silence, but especially interior silence. We've got, I know I've got so much going on in my head, you know, every day I ask for
a lot of commotion.
Yeah, right. It's like every day I ask for the grace for interior silence, to just be quiet. We don't have to have everything figured out. We think we do. We think God needs us to have everything figured out in order for us to glorify him and help, but he's got everything figured out. We just have to be quiet and let the Holy Spirit reveal to us, you know, moment by moment, you know, what we need to know. And then the second thing is amazing. Like Jesus receives so many offenses and his justice has to send chastisements, and our little acts of patience, you know, can stop that. You know, if we're on a long line, if, you know, we're in a bank and there's five tellers and only one of them is open and there's a really long line, you know, sometimes a knee-jerk reaction is to complain and why don't they have more tellers open? But it's like, that's a moment to practice patience. Somebody cuts you off when you're driving in your car. You know, you're in a group of people and somebody's getting on your nerves. You know, these all seem like little silly things, but if we give them to the Lord as little sacrifices and ask him to practice his patience in us, it's super powerful. Not because we're super powerful, but because Jesus is doing it in us. He's exercising his divine patience. And I really believe Our Lady's taking it and bringing it all over the world, wherever it's needed most. We don't have to worry about where it's going, but Our Lady knows where it needs to go. And then the third thing in this passage is the last sentence. In the sacrament, loving Jesus exercises all virtue. From him, we will draw fortitude, docility, patience, tolerance, humility, and obedience. So really, if we want all of these virtues, you know, because I feel like I lack all the virtues all the time. You know, the more, as Mother says, we have to do our acts in the divine will. We have to invite Jesus to practice his virtues in us, but also we have to put ourselves before the Blessed Sacrament. We just have to just soak him in, you know, like somebody sitting under the sun getting tan. We just have to soak him in. And again, we don't have to be there having everything figured out and having an agenda for Jesus to take care of. I want you to take care of this, this, and that. Yes, we can express our needs to him, open up our hearts. But all he really wants from us is for us to be there and just rest in his arms and let him do, as he tells Luisa all the time.
Yeah. And you know, the incredible grace we're going to receive too from receiving Holy Eucharist and for adoration, you know, that this is beyond the comparison. We don't have an explanation for it. Like you said, we don't have to explain it or worry about it being explained to us. It's also interesting too that, you know, you mentioned about, you know, the being cut off in the parking lot and all these are all opportunities. If God didn't allow these scenarios or situations to occur, how could we grow our virtues? We couldn't. If everything was perfect, that's why heaven is perfect and we don't need to exercise the virtues because they've been sort of maxed out, for lack of a better word. You mentioned also one last thing you said about drawing close to him. Again, God has given us 4,000 years, specifically 2,000 years since Christ in the New Testament, all the information we need, all the help we need. And we can just go to St. James 4.3. He says, quote, if you draw near to him, capital H, God will draw near to you, end quote. So God waits for us, and very evident in the divine will, Mother, we've talked about this. He waits for us to take the first step, to make the first move. He says, here I am. Are we going to reach out to greet him? Then he's going to give us everything, or he's going to try to if we accept it. But if we just stand there stoic and don't make that first move, God's waiting because he's a fruitful giver and he's a just giver and he wants to feed our desire. So we have to want him. And that takes work sometimes. Mother?
Yeah, and mortification comes easier when you're doing acts in his divine will. When you call him into your life, no matter what you're doing, you're thinking of him throughout the day, you're going to find mortification much easier. This is Lent. You might want to give up sweets. You might want to give up eating between meals. You might want to give up coffee or anything that you like. It's going to be easier to do that if you do your acts in divine will. He's going to give you the strength, just like not to get impatient in the parking lot or anywhere, or not give in to your anger or your temper. You know, you're gonna find it much easier because you're going to be taking on his virtues. As you call him into all of your acts, you're becoming more and more like him. And you become more and more like that little God that he wants us to become. He made us in his image and likeness, just, you know, so we can become, we should be working on toward becoming more and more that image and likeness of God, which he desires. He says in 1935, March 10th, my blessed daughter, heaven is always open to one who lives in my will. It lowers itself and does together with the creature what she does. Together it loves, works, prays, suffers, adores, repairs, and it so much loves these acts done together with it that it does not leave them down on earth, but it carries them into the celestial sojourn in order to make them take their royal place as conquests made down in the world that belong to it and to its beloved creature. A lot of people are worried about their finances, where to put their money in the bank, savings. They're afraid that they'll lose all their money. The money might be worthless after a while. So we store our money away. But here we have money for all eternity that we can put in heaven, in our bank account in heaven. Are the acts that you do and the rounds you do on earth become are saved in your bank account in heaven. So when you get there, you can see how rich you have become on earth by doing these acts and rounds. It says, what is done in my volition belongs to heaven. The earth is not worthy of possessing it. So all these acts and rounds do not stay on earth. They go into heaven, into the bank that God has placed there for you. And oh, the security, the happiness that the creature acquires, thinking that her acts are in the power of the divine fiat, and they find themselves in heaven as her property, not human, but divine, that await her because they want to court her and form her throne of glory. So much is its love, its jealousy, the identification that it feels that these acts done in its volition, that it does not even leave them in the creature, but it holds them with itself as births of its life and births of the creature in order to be able to enjoy them and to feel the pleasure of being loved and as an advance that it must give her glory in the celestial fatherland. These acts done in my volition act as narrators of the story of love that passes between the creator and the creature. And there is no greater enjoyment than to hear narrated how much I have loved, how my love arrives at the excess, even the abasing myself to want to do together with the creature, what the creature does. Not only this, but it narrates to her love, narrates to me her love, that she has received my act in hers. Therefore, a reciprocal love forms between the one and the other that makes each other happy. How beautiful it is to see that while she is still passing through the exile, her acts are in heaven as my conquest that I have made in the human will. And each one taking its office, some love me as I know how to love. Some adore me with divine adorations. And some form for me celestial music in order to extol me, praise me, and thank me for the great portent of the operation of my will. Therefore, be attentive and do not let anything escape you in which you do not call mine, so that what you do remains animated by my divine will. So let's get rich in heaven. Don't worry about being rich on earth. Let's put all of our finances, the racks and rounds of our finances in heaven. All eternity.
Right. You know, Mother, too, the acts, we just want to do as many as we can, you know, without lamenting on them, without staying too long with them, because Jesus has promised, in essence, through Louisa, to reunite us with those. We're going to see them again. In fact, Louisa tells us this was in her last day, her last breaths on earth, March 4th, 1947. She says, quote, "Now I see a long, beautiful, and spacious road, all illuminated by an infinite number of resplendent suns. Oh, yes, I recognize them. They are all my acts done in the divine will," end quote. So the road to heaven was paved with the acts, the golden suns. Now, what a shame it would be if we take that road and there's no suns.
Luis is a multi-millionaire in heaven.
That's true. That's true. And rich, we can be rich with a dollar as long as we use that dollar well. This is incredible. You know, again, we understand, Mother and sisters, we understand why God waited so long to give us this gift. He had to make sure everything was in position, everything was in place. You know, the mystery of the disposition, you know, we don't really feel disposed. I keep checking myself. I don't feel it. But somehow, when the divine will was mentioned, that light went off. I was able to see that light. Thanks be to God. No, nothing that I did on my own. And I think many others have done the same thing. They've seen that glimpse. And our job now, while we're on earth, is to hopefully help all souls to be able to see this glimmer of light, because this is the only light of hope. This is the only light that's going to save us, like you said, Mother, through this chastisement. It's the only thing. This is going to be, it could be very horrific. Now, yes, it may be mitigated. And I think up to this point, it already has been mitigated substantially. Because if you think about it, I think you mentioned this, Mother, how bad have we acted over the last 2,000 years? And it's getting worse, more grievous. And Jesus says in the volume, so I don't know where, he says that evil will ultimately exhaust itself. I mean, evil has how evil can evil be? You know, but grace will never cease. Love, as St. Paul tells us, will never die. So all of this is happening. All of this is ready. God says the time is now. And I believe him, and I know you believe him, that the time is now. We've walked this journey for 2,000 years, 6,000 years totally. And he says to Luis, and he says to us, we finally arrived. We're finally going back to the other side. Finally.
Here.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you again, live from Radio Maria. And thank Radio Maria, a Christian voice in our home, for the opportunity to bring this program, the School of Mary, to all of you. We're talking with Mother Gabriel Maria and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will. We're just before break talking about some of the dispositions that we're having and the virtues and exercising the virtues and growing in the virtues. All of that will help us to restore the image and likeness that we were made. And, image was obscured a bit, but baptism helped clear that up. And the likeness was missing because, again, Adam, when he sinned, when he was disobedient, forgot everything that God had given him. And was not able to pass it on. So we're learning that likeness again through the Book of Heaven. And, the soul becomes more conformed in Christ. That likeness improves through prayer, the reception of the sacraments, and growth in the virtues, which we were just talking about. And then we approach the likeness of God, that original sin impaired. So it's a journey. It could be a quick journey for some. It could be a longer journey for others. But the bottom line is we have to just keep journeying. And this journey, this School of Mary, this kindergarten, we're going to be in kindergarten for all of eternity, hopefully. And that's okay. Mothers, sisters.
Kindergarten. I've never gone to kindergarten, but it seems like a fun place to be. Oh, so I guess
my favorite.
I did teach it 1 year, but I have never had, in my day, we didn't have, not everybody had kindergarten. We just went to first grade. You want to share something, sister?
Yes. So I was just reading from volume 14, July 24, 1922. Bonds between Jesus and each soul, correspondence to grace. Continuing in my usual state, my always lovable Jesus came with enchanting majesty and love and showed me all generations from the first to the last man. And each of them was bound and tied to my sweet Jesus. The bond was such that it seemed to multiply for each creature in such a way that each one had him for himself alone, and that Jesus gave that life of his to suffer any pain and death with which each one would have to suffer, so as to be able to say to the Celestial Father, my Father, in each creature you will have as many of myself who will give you for each one that which each one owes you. While I was seeing this, my sweet Jesus told me, my daughter, do you also want to accept the bond with each being so that there may be no dissimilarity between you and me? I don't know how I felt as if the weight of all were leaning on my shoulders. I saw my unworthiness and weakness, and I felt such repugnance as to feel faint. And then later Jesus told to Lisa, courage, do not fear. I'll be with you. We will share all the weight, the work, the pains, and the deaths. This is why I tell you, be attentive and faithful. Always, he says that, be attentive and faithful. Because my grace wants correspondence. Otherwise, it takes nothing to descend. What does it take to open and to close one's eyes? It takes nothing. Yet the great good of keeping them open and the great harm of keeping them closed. By keeping them open, the eyes are filled with light, with sun. And with this light, the hand can work, the foot can walk safely and without stumbling. One can distinguish objects, whether they are good or bad. One can reorder things, read, write. Now, what does it take to lose all this good, closing one's eyes? The hand cannot work, the foot cannot walk. And if it does, it is subject to stumbling. One can no longer distinguish objects. He reduces himself to inability. Such is the correspondence, nothing but opening the eyes of the soul. And as one opens them, light comes into the mind. My image is reflected in all that she does, coping me faithfully, in such a way that she does nothing but receive continuous light from me so as to convert all of her being into light. On the other hand, lack of correspondence plunges the soul into darkness and renders her inoperative. So as we were talking before, really like opening the interior eyes, being always attentive. Like Sister Francesca was saying, also this this interior movements of the soul are so subtle, but so crucial. And also in these times, like we were talking, the chastisement, I mean, the things that are happening already now. Like, don't look the news unless you're gonna make acts and rounds out of them. Like, really, like, no suffering must go in vain. Like, there's so much about suffering that we hear in the news, but like, I really think it is God wants us, if we do happen to hear about this news, like, really to make, like, to place our I love you, to bind them to the will of God, to repair, to ask forgiveness for all this. Souls and their acts involved in, like, for example, the war in Ukraine. Like, many, and I also suppose many people in nowadays, they read the Book of Revelation, maybe out of the curiosity, but maybe really God wants us, we can make acts and rounds out of the Book of Revelation. I mean, these things will happen. It doesn't matter, like, to know really exactly what is, like, to figure out what's going to happen, but the desire, you know, like, to repair, to ask forgiveness, to bind all this in the will of God. So if you happen to read the Book of Revelation, you can make the round of Revelation out of it. For example, I also, during the Holy Mass, I pray like this, like I make the acts and rounds out of it, like when it's the Kyrie eleison part, you know, like the act of penitential act. You know, I also bind all the acts of the creatures at the warning, because, you know, the warning when everyone will have their consciousness illuminated, like for all of them to bind them to the will of God. And also during the offertory, like the offering of all these souls and their acts during the chastisements. Because, yes, and all of it, the Luisa mentions them, and they are mentioned also in the details in the Book of Revelation, the trumpets, no? And also when it's the consecration of the body of Christ, I do the act of like binding all of the acts of the living host that will emerge in the tribulation, no? Like, to place my I love you on all of their acts. And and yeah, later when it is when the priest said in him, through him, with him, and we say amen. No, it's like to make an act of everyone acknowledging Jesus as the King of all and everything. And yeah, and then later that there's behold the Lamb of God, like all the acts. During the Last Judgment, it reminds me of that, like to all souls to repair, to ask forgiveness in the will of God for all of them, no? And yes, the most crucial part, like and before that is Our Father. In Our Father, I reminded of the Divine Will era, like we pray in Our Father for that, to place all the acts of all the creatures from the Divine Will era, to bind it to the will of God, you know, to place my I love you and all that. And then the most crucial part is the Holy Communion, which is like, yeah, the final destination, the heaven. But yeah, to, like Mother says many times, to always remember to take the Holy Communion in the name of everyone and everything, like from Adam to the last man. And really the God the Father, I think he sends the waves of sacramental graces, yeah, everywhere. So yes, thank you.
Well, I was thinking communion, you know, our Lord received all the communions that would ever be received, because he relived everyone's life to perfection. So when you go to communion, you can take all those communions that he received for everyone who would ever receive him. And he received communion for every person who would ever live. I read that in my will. So you take all of those communions and you say, I want to love you with your own love in the name of all those communions that you received for every person who would ever receive you and for all every person who ever lived, and give it to the Father with an I love you from me. You know, you can do that too. And I was going to say, when you were talking about binding things, Saint Joseph is the terror of demons. So if you're disturbed, if you're having a problem or a struggle, you can always call on Saint Joseph to bind the demons that are disturbing you and send them to the feet of Jesus for Jesus to send them where he wants to send them. And you're going to find that that really works in your life. It's really very freeing. Another thing I want to say about curiosity, when you were talking about curiosity, Padre Pio said the greatest detriment to the spiritual life is curiosity. So if you're going to watch the news, pray to the Lord that you will have the right motive, not out of curiosity, but by the right motive. I mean, if you want to look at it so you know what you're praying for, if you need to know what you're praying for. But, you know, if you do acts and rounds and divine meal, you're going to have the right motive for everything you do, because a lot of times we have the wrong motive. We do things out of curiosity. So, and that's the wrong motive, you know. We should do everything out of love for God, whatever we're doing. I was just reading here in volume 33. It was March the 10th, 1935. So he said, Jesus tells Louisa, my daughter, the creature was created by us all in order to, it doesn't make sense here. By us all, in order to us. I don't know. Therefore, it is her sacrosanct. The printing is wrong. It is her sacrosanct duty that in every act that she does to call he who has created her in order to give him the dominion and royal place in her act that by right belongs to him. And so that the act of the creature would receive the honor that in her act she possesses a strength, a light, a divine act. It is our will that she must be completely filled with the divine being. And if she does not do this, she denies to us one of our rights. She places us outside of our acts, and her acts remain human acts, emptied of divine strength and light, with a darkness so dense that her intelligence sees so many black shadows that gropingly she makes her some step, just suffering, for who can turn on the light and does not turn it on, for who can call the strength and does not call it, and who, while she makes use of the act and the conservative and acting work of God, she places it outside of her act. Now, it is our decree that no one enters into heaven if her soul is not filled, even to the brim, completely with our will and with our love. A little void of this is enough that heaven does not open for her. This is the reason for the necessity of purgatory, in order to empty herself by way of sufferings and fire of everything that is human, and filling herself by ways of anxieties, of longings, of martyrdoms, of pure love, and of divine will, in order to be able to enter into the celestial fatherland, and without acquiring with so many sufferings either merit or greater glory, but only for the conditions that are needed in order to be admitted to the celestial sojourn. So, on the other hand, if they would have done it on earth by calling our life in their acts, every act would be one greater glory, one additional beauty, sealed by the works of her creator. Oh, with how much love are these souls received, who in their acts have given a place to the divine act. In meeting with us, we recognize ourselves in her, and she recognizes herself in us, and recognizing each other, such that so much is the happiness of both, that the whole of heaven remains surprised in seeing the joys, the glory, the beatitudes that the Supreme Being pours over this fortunate creature. Therefore, I want you always in my will and in my love, so that love burns what does not belong to me, and my will with its paintbrush of light forms our act in your act. So it's so simple to do a divine act. All you got to do is believe it. Trust in the word of God, what he told Louisa. You're saying, Jesus, come eat in me. He's eating in you. He's doing it anyway. He just wants you to acknowledge it. He's doing everything we do within us all day long. but he wants us to be aware of his presence doing everything in us and to thank him for that. Thank him for all these gifts he's given us that we can function. He is functioning within us. And we want to give glory to the Father in acknowledging that.
Wow. There's so much to recap there. Just for a moment, if I can be brief, going back to what Sister was the reflection, you know, again, this is the divine will. The gift of the divine will is the interior life of Christ, the interior life of the Holy Trinity. And we need to start taking what is human and looking past that to what God is giving us in the divine. And a beautiful way Sister was doing that through the holy sacrifice of the Mass, you know, looking into the interior life of it and allowing God, you know, it's that imagination. And again, we don't talk about imagination like I'm thinking about balloons and things like that. But the imagination of St. John of the Cross and the article that in Vatican II talk about that our imagination has a limit. We have to cease our imagination or our growth and defer it to God because he's going to take us infinitely wherever he wants to take us. So I think that was really important. And the mother you were saying about, you know, we can't get too bogged down on things. You know, Jesus says to Louisa, he tells her, do not investigate. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, blindly believe everything you hear in the world, but God is going to give us all the means to understand that these are the truths that God's been waiting to give to us for 6,000 years. We're going to understand that this is the return of the creature to the order, the place, and the purpose. All that's going to come, like you said, Mother, but we have to stay attentive so that we may be fed by Jesus. Why did Jesus put Louisa in bed and told her to stay there, even though she could walk? Well, so that he had that audience of Louisa, which he needed anytime he wanted to, because again, the mission was so great that he needed all of her attention. She couldn't be distracted. We can't do it exactly like Louisa did, but we can cut out the distractions. The TV is a great thing, and other frivolous talks and conversations and things like that, because things are serious. It doesn't mean we have to put a frown on our face. It's positive, it's joyous, but we need to get serious. We need to take some of the fluff out of our life that really is not really necessary and really put to mind what is necessary. And God's telling us everything we need to do. Very well put. Thank you, Mother.
Yeah. So as Mother was saying earlier, the gates of heaven won't open to us if we're not completely filled with God's will to the brim. So it's really important to just do as much as we can to live in God's divine will now while we're here on earth, and to pray to God for the grace to want to live our purgatory on earth. So after we die, we won't have to go through purgatory because we'll already have lived it here on earth. And in July 13th, 1931, Jesus tells Louisa about the passport in order to enter into the kingdom of the divine will. So in this passage, I'm going to read, Jesus talks to Louisa about how the passport to enter into the kingdom of the divine will is having that resolute will to never do one's own will. Now, you must know, my daughter, that the passport in order to enter into my kingdom is the resolute will of never doing one's own will, even at the cost of one's life and any sacrifice. This resolute act, but true, is like the signature that one puts on the passport in order to set off in the kingdom of my divine will. And while the creature signs in order to set off, God signs in order to receive her. This latter signature will have so much value that the whole of heaven will go to meet her in order to receive her into the kingdom of the divine fiat in which they live. And they will be all eyes over this creature who, from the earth, holds as life and as kingdom that same will that they hold in heaven. But the passport is not enough. One must study the language, the ways, the customs of this divine kingdom. And these are the knowledges, the prerogatives, the beauties, the value that my will contains. Otherwise, one would be like a stranger. He would neither take love nor be loved. If he does not sacrifice in making of it a study in order to be able to speak with that same language, and does not adopt himself to the customs of those who live in this kingdom so holy, he will live isolated because, not understanding him, they will shun him, and isolation makes no one happy. In addition to this, one must pass from the study to the practice to what was learned. And after a length of practice, at last, he is declared a citizen of the kingdom of my divine will. And then, and then will he enjoy all the happiness that are in a kingdom so holy. Even more, they will be his own properties, and he will acquire the right to live in it as his own fatherland. So to live in the kingdom, the divine will, we have to have the desire. Also, it's really important to study these writings for those who are fortunate to have it with them. And in also in volume 29, August 3rd, 1931, Jesus tells Luisa about what the most, what the greatest gift that God gives us to the creature, and it's the truth. But do you want to know what our most beautiful gifts are that we give to the creature? Manifesting to her a knowledge of our Supreme Being, a truth that belongs to us, a secret of ours, is the most beautiful gift that we give to her. Each of these gifts is one more bond that we place between her and us. Each truth of ours is a property that we place in our soul. So reading this, it's really important to remember to just practice, as Jesus tells Luisa in this passage in volume 29 from July 13th, 1931. How it's really important after Jesus says to Luisa again, and after a length of practice, at last, he is declared a citizen of the kingdom of my divine will. So Jesus wants us to practice to grow in holiness every day. He wants us to constantly die to ourselves in new ways every day. And whatever sacrifice Jesus asks us for the day, we should just give our fiat and give it to him. And each day, that's how we'll slowly learn to grow in the kingdom of the divine will, under the Son of the divine will. And Jesus wants us to also really let's study these truths for those who have it, and to not take it for granted, and not only to read and to desire, but also to live it. Because to live in the kingdom of the divine will, it's also really important to just practice what we read, to continue to do acts and rounds in the divine will, and just getting closer to God in that way, and just giving your fiat to every situation and doing the best you can to die to your human will, to only do the divine will.
Amen. Hi, Grace. You know, Grace, you were talking about being filled to the brim. You know, again, that's really what we choose. We can choose our own containers based on our desire, really. And we're doing that right now. But God is promising to fill, no matter what size container we want to be, we can be filled emphatically. For example, the dewfall will begin filling it. And now it's as if God has given us Niagara Falls. It doesn't matter if you've got a 32-ounce container, 128-ounce container, or a zillion-gallon container. It's going to be filled if we want it to be filled. So that's our job right now. We do that through the exercise of the virtues, like we were talking about, and what Mother was talking to us about also. So it's all here. And really, it's just, again, it's understanding the mystery behind all of this. And it takes grace. Only the grace of God, when given to us, will allow us to understand this language. Mother, sisters.
In volume 14, our Lord told Luisa, this is 1922, March 10th. He says, my daughter, everything that one does in my will is like sun that diffuses to all. And as one prays in my will, offering my blood, my pains, my wounds, these convert into as many rays of light which diffuse to all. They descend rapidly into the deepest prison of purgatory and turn their pains and darkness into light. So you're not only blessing all the souls in heaven, on earth, when you do acts and rounds and divine will, you're also helping all the souls in purgatory. Therefore, it can be the same for everyone. And if there may be a difference, it can never be on the part of the one who gives, but of those who receive, according to the dispositions of each one. It happens as to the sun, which gives light to all equally. It hits and warms one point of the earth just as any other. But who profits from this? Those who work, which land produces fruit, that is, which seeds have been sowed. And other land, in spite of the light of the sun, remains infertile. Therefore, distinctions do not exist in my will. By itself, it runs, it diffuses, and wants to give itself to all. Whoever wants can take it all. So take of it. So as we do acts and rounds and rounds, we're blessing all those people in Ukraine who are struggling right now. If their hearts are open to the grace, they're being blessed. All the people all over the world who are suffering, you're blessing them. The souls in purgatory are getting blessed. Their suffering is lightened over every act and round you do in divine will. It goes everywhere. It's like sun that reflects throughout the whole world. So it's a great gift that we can give to the world by doing these acts and rounds in divine will.
Yeah, we're going to talk about accidental glory on another program. We don't have time today. Is there anyone that hasn't spoken yet, Mother? Is there another sister there?
Just four of us here right now.
It was a great session. I mean, closing thought, we have about a minute left.
A closing thought? Well, what I say every week, do acts around the divine will. Don't lose any of them. Our Lord told Lisa just losing one act around the divine will was a great, great, great loss. So you want to be rich in heaven? You want to have a big bank account in heaven? Do acts around the divine will. Call God. One little thought of him tickles him pink. Just think of him all day long. Think of him within yourself, doing everything in you. He's going to be so delighted by you doing this. So we want to delight God. We want to make him happy. We want to give God all the glory he deserves. And so this is the best way to do it. This is the greatest gift, like you said, Peter. This is the greatest gift. And God wants us to give it back to him.
Yeah, actually, that's what Jesus says. He calls. I mean, again, do we believe that? Do we believe when Jesus says this is the greatest gift, or is this just another gift he's given us? It really is the greatest gift. Well, we're out of time, unfortunately, but, we're going to go through some hard times. There's going to be difficult times, but we can't get bogged down in the media, in the lies and the mistruths. We need to stay focused on the prize, which is to journey often every day and vigilantly as we can in the divine will. And that's our job. And God's going to take care of the rest. He really is. I'd like to end with words again of Louisa on March 4th, her last day on earth, 1947. And we'll use this as a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now I die with greater contentment because the divine will has consoled me more than usual with its presence in these last few moments of my life. End quote. The divine will is going to console us through the hard times, the chastisements, the difficult times we're going to go through right now. If you haven't begun reading the volumes, if you haven't begun exploring the divine will, I suggest you do it now. QueenOfTheDivineWill.org is one way to start. The Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will is another way to go. Again, it doesn't matter what window or door we go through, as long as we get in. Thanks be to God. Bye, everyone.